teaching center will get you sooner or later. But also, I wanted to give you, I made allusion to, but just to think, you know, to think about the relationship to, you know, to Ben-Noach also. We'll try to get through these Akdama things more quickly, now that we're, you know, pretty much, you know, more regular schedule. But you should look at the Yerushalmi just in the beginning of Kiddushin. There the Yerushalmi discusses what the status of Ben-Noach is with regard to Kiddushin and Gerushin, so that Shaka Mataria is important. And, the Rambam Hilchos Malachim, Perek Tes Halacha Zayin, of course the Rambam Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Ishus, which we already made reference to, but also, and then of course the Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Ches, where he talks about Gerushin, and if you get a chance, that's Tes Ches. The Chidush Aran in the Sanhedrin, in the name of David Bonfil, who I think it's a Nun Bav, I believe, or I'll get to that exact reference. But you should be aware, like, you know, of that whole discussion, because that's going to be helpful. And the Minyan and Mitzvah stuff we're going to try to do today, and then I'll probably give you a few other things to see. Okay. But mostly, we'll try to, try to take care of the Hakdama, quickly. I think I have the original Armakomos here. We'll try to keep to that. Okay. So I think we began, Baruch, I think was in the, we'll relieve him, but, we gave him two shots and he couldn't get past the, the two dots, So, not this. They did a good job. But so he started reading, and I just want to get the Shaka Vitaria in for the record, because we're reading it and making certain ha'aros, which parts of the Gemara belong to Beis Shammai, which parts of the Gemara belong to Beis Hillel. What we're trying to do with the Shaka Vitaria first, and then we're going to pin it down, in the actual detail of it, probably more tomorrow. What we were trying to do, Baruch, was what? What were we trying to do? You don't have to read anymore, but, what we were trying to figure out. The nature of what they really argue about, and whether or not they argue in a qualitative, fundamental way, or not. In other words, you have three approaches in the Mishnah to grounds for divorce. The question is, what is that really? What is that really all about? What are the stakes of that? What is each, position? And as I think I indicated, they're really two, very much related questions. One is, it's just how do you look at this whole issue and argument? Is it about, mitzvos, isurim, grounds for divorce make you a mitzvah to get divorced? When there are no grounds or it isn't justified, it's tisk and, disapproval, or really it's an isurp. So that is one, big question. What are we talking about? And of course, very much related to it, what do these categories really signify? Right? In the case of Beis Shammai, how limited is it? What happens if there's, an agreement between husband and wife, as some of you asked? What happens if the grounds are not there, the divorce takes place anyway? Is this about Isur and L'chatchila, or is it really not even Chal, right? I mean, again, Yerushalmi seems to really limit Beis Shammai in a very significant way. conceptually, are we talking about a situation where, to continue a marriage would be, Isur? That, is a very circumscribed, situation, obviously, and one which logically explains, why we're not insisting, that this be an enduring, bond, because the circumstances are such that, they can't continue to live together anyway. On the other hand, that puts pressure on institutions like Matzah Grushaso, Like, why is there even such an Isser according to Beit Shammai, which is Yerushalmi's question. We'll have to look at all the answers. And I'd say it's, you know, somebody raised the question last time about Shalei Kalab Einav Gugeb asked the question, about Shalei Kalab Einav Lotziah. Somebody mentioned to me after this year, who mentioned it to me, about the Chassam Sofer?
David.
Oh, David. That David told me that the Chassam Sofer on that da, on the Daf on Daf Tani?
Yeah?
Yeah. Says, actually says that, what kind of, I was mechaben, I guess, that, you know, yeah, in Rachanami, according to Beit Shammai, well, he said it, according to Beit Shammai, the reasoning behind Ksuva is not Shaloi Hekal Beinav Lahotziah, right? You know, that the, you know, requirement of Ksuva is for other, based on other reasons. I was suggesting that, you know, you could still use that phrase, but, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that in the narrowest, you know, way. But do you have that line in the Chassam Sofer? That's important to share. Is it up there?
Wow.
I couldn't hear you so much. So, the mother of Siva Dereisa, Chiloi Matzi Lagarish Belik Suva, the Tisha Erol of Chov, the Ein Chova Lekane Lo Velin Chos Hashem, the Shemati Pi Romer Yon Chasa, this is our, his Rebbe, of Nassim Adler, the Beshame Akok Sviel Lek Suva Dereisa, the Kivit Lo Yigarish, the Lo Erba Stavar, Ein Kain, Ein Kal, the Ein of Lahotzi. Okay, al karcha ksuva doraisa, the hoots of Yushalmi Lomar, Kavli Shamuti Latame. Okay, anyway, yeah, you see that he's relating to this issue. That's very significant. So the point is that if we take the view, you know, that we're talking about effectiveness, you know, like these are the only circumstances where again is chal. So, and we mean, you know, literally, you know, erbas davar, meaning a sota case. So again, a lot of halachic institutions get pressure. Masu Grushaso for sure. You know, the practical, you know, aspect of Ksuva Shalei Kalbin of Lahotzia for sure, and possibly other things as well. If we're more expansive, you know, either about what Ervas Davar means or whether or not Bidyebed is a chalos gerushin. Or, you know, circumstances which allow for gerushin, like, let's say, it doesn't involve korcha or something like that, or, you know, what about, you know, get li'aba, things of that sort, then, of course, you know, a lot of these questions go away. The question is, do you then lose the charm in Beis Shammai, you know, which is the idea that the grounds for divorce, you know, are, you know, really signify the a marriage, you know, which isn't worth, you know, saving. So it's not like tamua, you know, that you're not going to force people, you know, to stay together, you know, under these conditions, even if there isn't an, you know, actual iser. So how far do you go with Beis Shammai? By the same token, when it comes to Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, this is what, right, Baruch? So what the question there is, like, in the other direction, namely, right, are they just saying, you know, which is the Pashtus, like, you know, this was created through a Kenyan, and, you know, it was created as, the Ishus was created as an act of volition, and of Bechira, and, you know, whether we like it or not, whether we're approving or not, you know, it's just in the nature of what, you know, what Ishus is, you know, that, or in the, you know, just like the basic rights, you know, that people have, both. It could be about how it was, you know, generated, or it just could be, you know, per se, that people have a right to decide, in their, you know, which has to do with their personal lifestyle, not any personal lifestyle. You want to confuse it with a more modern, you know, uncritical application of that idea, but to some extent, you know, of course, people, you know, should have input into things that affect the quality of their life, This is a great example how, you know, you have to balance between different factors, the kedusha ishus, and the ability, you know, to create a chalos, and the need to make that permanent or enduring, you know, etc. So it could be that, you know, just per se, or it could be it's connected to the way that it was created, or it could be that it's, you know, a, you know, this is the more intriguing idea, that this is a better investment even in the goal of, you know, of transcendence, we'll call it. And, you know, that because psychologically, you know, people are more likely, you know, to appreciate what they have, you know, when they have the option, you know, to abandon it. That's something like the Malbim, you know, develops that idea, and that's an obvious idea. Or kind of what I was suggesting, which is that instead of seeing this as like, you know, a davar kal, you know, and a function of other things, you know, maybe it's exactly the opposite. You know, just maybe it's really a way of the Torah investing in, you know, the high, you know, standard of relationship and mutual respect and so on, you know, that Ishus, you know, requires. Ishus is, you know, potentially nitan to be terminated because anything, you know, that falls under a certain, you know, acceptable level of interaction is not a davar she'be'erva, you know, in the more, you know, dastardly avera sense, but in the, you know, kedusha sa'isha sense, it, you know, creates a kind of a grusha salev, or, you know, either way, it's the antithesis of v'hoya lebasar echad, or noki lebeso, or any of these more idealistic perspectives. And as I say, remember that, you know, the relationship between Ribbono Shalom and Klal Yisrael is compared, you know, in Tanakh, you know, with a marriage, and in Chazal, either with Erusin or Nisuin or Ksuva, even Matan Torah. You know, that's a very popular, you know, idea. And the, I was just talking about a different, you know, topic, but, you know, the way the Rambam explains in Perek Yod Hilchos Tshuva, you know, Avas Hashem, you know, is patterned after, maybe a little bit too obsessive, you know, a romantic, you know, relationship, but the very fact that that's kind of a frame of reference, and then the Rambam goes on to say that Shir HaShirim, of course, is a you know, parable. You know, it's really about, you know, Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it's not a coincidence, you know, that, you know, the terminology is all about, you know, kind of romantic relationship. All of these, you know, even if it goes too far, underscore, and again, you know, the talk of, you know, almana or ke'almana, or, you know, the, you know, the psukim, you know, that say, well, there is no get krisus, you know, between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, but, you know, all of this kind of underscores that, you know, whatever is common about these relationships, and of course, theologically and otherwise, you know, they're different from each other. They have to be different from each other, you know, as the Rambam explains in Mar Nebuchim, but everybody would agree. And that is that anything we say about the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you know, you could say Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, but the quality of the relationship has to be different. And yet there is a, you know, continuation, there is a continuity between these concepts. So while, you know, there's no exit strategy when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because, you know, you have to work it out, and, you know, that can be responsible for, you know, a lot of strife on the way, you know. And that's, you know, where the Puranusas and the Nechemtas and, you know, these Haftorahs that we're in the middle of, and the whole process of tshuva really, you know, come into play. Elul, Anila Dodi, you know, the Dodi League, the acronym according to some of the Mefarshim. So, you know, when, you know, people know they have to get along, so the strife is greater, because I guess can't, you know, separate. But then also the, you know, need for a modus vivendi to reconcile, you know, is also, you know, more urgent. So when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no choice, you know. And either way, the relationship is just different. So you have to make it work. Both sides have to make it work, you know, whatever that means. When it comes to a, you know, human relationship, there can be the ideal, and there can also be a recognition, you know, that, you know, a sense of freedom or, you know, giving people, you know, an exit strategy is sometimes the best investment in their appreciation of what they have. Or, and, you know, sometimes the exit strategy is an investment, you know, in the minimum standards that maintains, you know, Kedusha. Because if it was Kedusha at a certain point, but that's deteriorated, you know, and it no longer exists, then, you know, that is, you know, ironically, but understandably, like the more, you know, you perceive, you know, the Ishus not just as an arrangement and a practical arrangement, you know, on so many different levels, but, you know, you think that fundamentally it really is that kind of an existential bond, so, you know, then it's more vulnerable too, and in occasions you're just going to have to sadly, you know, apply the exit strategy. So, right, these are the questions that we're interested in that sense. That's what I mean when I say that, you know, instead of, there are two ways to understand, for sure, Beis Shammai, and there are two ways to understand, you know, Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. We might be mechalek between Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel for the reasons that we discussed, also, in either direction. But, you know, in the extremes, you know, we might even look at, you know, Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva as, you know, kind of extending Davar Sheba'erva. That's a better way to read the psukim too. Meaning, Chazal, of course, are correct, and we accept, you know, what they say, that according to Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, there's, you know, there's Davar Sheba'erva, and there's, you know, Lom, you know, in Lom, in, you know, in Lo Matzachin Be'enav, or, and, you know, Erva and Davar. But the idea that, you know, you have to, you know, make those diukim, you know, is, it might just be a way of expanding, you know, what we mean, you know, by Erva. So again, I think we're at the point in the Gemara, I just want to finish the Shakavatari, then I want to take a step back and find out other mitzvos, one of those mitzvos, how it compares Gittin and Kedusha, and then we'll go back and just discuss a couple of more specific shitos about what Beis Shammai means factually, what Beis Hillel means, what Rabbi Akiva means, in light of all this. Okay, so let us, Ellie, you want to just continue reading for us? So let's just get through the Shakavatarya first, because we had a few breaks, and I want to make sure that we get it in. I think the last thing that we were discussing, let's start from the two dots again, even though Abara did read that, but Gamaika Bifligi Bidresh Lakish. Do you have that? Yes. Domresh Lakish Kim Bishamish Bidal Vishonos O Dilma Ella and Daha. Right? Yeah. Go ahead. Bishame Sabri. So again, this is all about Parshanut. Of course, the Parshanut is a mokar, but then, you know, the significance of what the psukim say, you know, becomes, you know, the catalyst for Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva to reassess, you know, this really fundamental question, this practical question, you know, when can you divorce, when, you know, is it appropriate to divorce, you know, but also, like, what is the nature, like, how does divorce fit in to the notion of Ishus as a Davar Shebekdusha. Okay, so in terms of the Parshanut, right, of course, that's what the Gemara is being, you know, Mechadesh, that Reish Lakish, you know, is relevant here. Go ahead. That Ki, Meshamish, Bidal, Vashonos. Right.
Damar Reish Lakish, Ki, Meshamish, Vargo, Vashonos. O Dilma, Ella, and Deha.
E Dilma, Ella, and Deha, right.
Yeah, Beshamai, Sovri, Ki, Matzaba, Erbas, Dabar, Deha, Matzaba, Erbas, Dabar.
Yeah, so I would just add, you know, you could take the Gemara Kipchuto, and nothing wrong with that, you know. But of course, you know, the question, you know, looms, you know, according to both Deos. You know, why, you know, is the Torah using, you know, a word or a phrase, you know, that in theory can be interpreted, you know, in two very different ways, right? Just like we were discussing earlier, like, you know, why is the Torah presenting, you know, Kiddushin the way it's presenting it and Gerushin the way it's presenting it and placing Matzah Grushaso in that context and following up with Kiyikach, you know, Ish Isha Chadasha. I mean, whenever there's always, like, you know, the more, you know, the smaller point. I don't mean smaller in significance. I mean the narrower point is a better way to say it. Like, you know, what is the Gilui Milsa? What are we learning from here? What are the facts, you know, that are Koveya Lahalacha? And that, of course, that's a sine qua non. You can't, you know, that you begin with that and you focus on that. But we do have the, you know, right to ask these other questions, and that is, like, you know, the Torah, if it meant this, and it does mean it, couldn't have been more explicit, couldn't have used, you know, terminology, you know, that, you know, is not, you know, open to, you know, more than one, you know, interpretation, or the language, you know, that it uses for Matzah Grushaso, you know, it couldn't have had two psukim, you know, one for Sota and one for Matzah Grushaso. So here too, the use of, you know, ki, you know, which sometimes is daha and sometimes is inami, makes you wonder whether or not, you know, even according to Beis Shammai, you know, there isn't, you know, an element of inami, you know, and even according to Beis Hillel, whether there isn't an element of ki, you know, and I mean it more for Beis Hillel in this case, you know, than for Beis Shammai, but for both in some respect. Maybe the issue is not, you know, what does this mean exclusively, and the other one is wrong, as much as what does predominantly this mean, and that's koveya legabe, you know, the grounds for divorce, lemaisa, but, you know, as I say, it kind of, you know, bridges the gap a little bit, you know, between the different shitas. Okay, go ahead. Amalera papala rabba. Lo erva v'lo davar ma'u. So as I indicated, we're going to have to go back to this. Rashi says that this refers to within Beis Hillel, correct? But the Rashbash and others say that this is actually within Beis Shammai. That, of course, again, the very fact of that range is really quite, you know, extraordinary. And of course, the question itself is very interesting. You know, what about, you know, if you're talking about Beis Hillel, right? I mean, again, if you're talking about Beis Shammai, so apparently there is a davar that's separate, you know, from Erva. We'll have to look at the language of the Rashbash if you get a chance. So we'll talk about that. That's an expansion. If you're talking about, you know, Beis Hillel, so this is very, you know, intriguing, because one of our questions is, you know, is Hikdicha Tavshilo, like, you know, the, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, it's another way of saying, like, the most frivolous, trivial, you know, thing that you can think of, you know, like something completely ridiculous, but, you know, it's, he has choice, so he can do what he wants, you know. We may disapprove, we may think, you know, that he's not a good role model, or even stronger than that, you know, but that would be more from a Hilchos, what I call the Hilchos Deos point of view than a Hilchos Gerushin point of view. Let me explain what that means, because a couple people ask about that. I sometimes, like, you know, assume everybody, you know, understands my terminology, but it's good. People should always ask, you know. It's good to ask. So what I mean by that, of course, is, you know, there can be behavior that is, even reprehensible, you know, but, you know, maybe in a broader way. You know, the Rambam wrote Hilchos Deos, he was speaking about, like, how an Oved Hashem, you know, should be. Like, you know, what the motto is and what he should be trying to, you know, cultivate, you know, in terms of maximizing the purpose of his life, which is the relationship that he has with the Ribbono Shel Olam and the refinement, you know, of himself, you know, into a, you know, Torah personality. That doesn't always, you know, express itself. That can relate to broader ideas and bigger ideas. You know, it's almost like the, you know, Ramban's, you know, Naval, Altihi Naval B'Shus HaTorah, when he talks about, you know, Kedoshim, you know, Tiyu, although there might be a narrower, you know, meaning for that as well. But, you know, the point is that, like, you know, a person does things that are disappointing, that are inconsistent with, you know, a certain, you know, spiritual orientation or a focus on Avodas Hashem and Shmiras, you know, HaHalacha and a certain nobility, you know, even if he's not in violation of a specific Iser or an Iser Asei, that nonetheless these things are inconsistent, you know, with this broader goal. That's what the Rambam does in Hilchos Deos. The question is, so when we speak about, grounds for divorce, you know, especially if we're not speaking about whether it's chal, but we're speaking about, you know, whether it is, you know, l'chatchila, you know, and whether or not we'll see in a moment the language, you know, sanui, you know, or sanui l'makom, etc., there are still two possibilities. And that one is, you know, that we're speaking in broader terms, like, is this person acting like a ben Torah? Okay. Even if from a purely Hilchos Gerushin point of view, there's no separate chalos. Or do we mean, you know, that there's an added specific element, namely that even if something is chal, you know, it's inconsistent with the bifrat, you know, requirements of ishus, you know, and gerushin. Right. So what I was saying was, you know, if ikdicha tavshilo, according to Beis Hillel, works, you could say what that means is like, you know, anything goes. When we say anything goes, we mean that, you know, that from a gerushin point of view, right, if a person wants to get divorced, he has the right to get divorced. That doesn't mean, you know, that we might be disappointed and we might, doesn't mean we're not disappointed in him, or that we don't think that the impulse to trivialize or to be frivolous or to be hurtful, you know, or to, you know, kind of tarnish, you know, whether it's the person's reputation or the reputation of marriage, you know, we don't think that that is a noble, compelling way for an Oved Hashem to be. We can be very disappointed and very negative about him, you know, and still say, but, you know, from a Hilchos Gerushin point of view, you know, whether as an investment, you know, in happiness or in Kedusha, or just simply as a right that he has in his quality of life, or as a result of the, you know, Bechirayi, I guess you could say, volitional nature of the Kenyan, you know, this is perfectly acceptable. Right. So if the suffix in Beis Hillel is like, oh, there's no davar, and there's no, what do you mean there's no davar? Right? Meaning he has to have some reason that implies that ikdicha tavshilo, right, is something. Now, whether that means, it's like the Meiri says, and we'll catalog all these later, you know, like, oh, you know, not living up to that part of the bargain, or even more, like, intentionally, annoying or trying to, you know, engender, you know, strife, you know, almost, you know, provoking. Or is it just that, like, sincerely, you know, his barbecuing, like, you know, means a lot to him. It shouldn't, but it does, and he's really annoyed. But apparently, you know, there can be a situation of lo matzaba, you know, lo erva v'lo davar. Whereas if it's Beis Shammai, the chiddush is more that there is a davar, you know, even for Beis Shammai, that, you know, there are things outside of that davar is not a problem. So either way, it matters a lot. We'll get back to it. But just in terms of, you know, being on the lookout when we sum up very quickly, hopefully, some of the details, this line is very important. Okay. Mahu. Go ahead. Amarle. Yeah. Meaning, what we're saying is that b'di'eved, right? This is chal. Whether we're saying that for, you know, again, Beis Hillel, even when it's, you know, not even hikdicha tavshilo, or, you know, we're saying this for Beis Shammai, which would be more important, you know, this is an important line of the Gemara. The Hava Mina, which is certainly what? That, again, unclear whether it wouldn't work, right? Or there would be a constant chiyuv, you know, haksir grushasa b'ofen, you know, heter. That certainly would Rashi seems to emphasize, and understandably based on the paradigm of the Gemara. But the idea that, you know, maybe it wouldn't work at all, you know, is very fascinating. Something really that you might say. Okay, keep going. Amalei Rav Sharshi Rava. Amalei Rav Sharshi
Rava. En libo legarsha v'yoshevet taka v'mishanta mahu.
Oh, so again, this is a case, you know, which again touches. You could say, oh, you can learn this Gemara and say, like, you know, oh, what about this Eicha Timtzi? You know, which is fine. But if really what this sugya is about kedushas ishus, right, and we're really trying to figure out, you know, how much, you know, Beis Shammai is in Beis Hillel and how much Beis Shammai is in Beis Shammai, you know, but you know, so then this next line of the Gemara, like, is really crucial. Now, on a practical level, of course, it's, you know, if we're not so quick to justify, you know, Gerushin, so, you know, then Libo Lagarsha, you know, becomes an important issue. But here, Gemara's not necessarily talking about, you know, somebody who, you know, all things being equal, he would like to divorce, but he's not going to. Right? Here they're actually something but more specific, and that is, like, he has the ability to be Megarish, everybody agrees, whatever the circumstances are. And, you know, before the Gerushin, right, he wants to, you know, continue the relationship. Like, how bad is that, basically? Okay, but obviously, you know, in addition to being an independent question, this is a fundamental core, you know, question about the, you know, the prerequisite of Kedushas Ishus, you know, for the relationship to exist, which is why, you know, it would support the perspective, maybe, especially if this is Beis Hillel, still, that even for Beis Hillel or for Rabbi Akiva, right, maybe this is, you know, part of the consideration. You know, namely, whether we're endorsing the grounds, if the fact is, you know, that this relationship has so soured, or if factually a decision has been reached, like, how bad is it? Since technically you're still within the marriage, right? Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara says, Kari Ale. Yeah, so that's a pasuk in Mishlei. And the question is, is that an example, and is this a question, to use my terminology, of Hilchos Deos? This is like, you know, oh, that's a bad, tricky, cynical, misleading thing to do, you know, or, again, does it have a Gerushin, you know, component? So we're going to look this up later, but, you know, does the Rama put this in Hilchos Gerushin, or he puts it in Hilchos Deos?
Gerushin.
But he does have some things in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam has some of these cases, interesting, we'll see, we'll catalog it hopefully in a couple of minutes, some in Hilchos Ishus, some in Hilchos Gerushin, some in Hilchos Isurei Biyah, and some in Hilchos Deos. Some of them overlap, some of them don't. I think that that is very, you know, significant. Again, if you decide that it's not, that's fine too. But at least, you know, l'chatchila, you know, it's something that we would, you know, look at. You might, you know, come to a conclusion that it's less significant than you might have thought. But where the Rambam locates things, as I said, you know, is important. And especially if he quotes something in two different places, that means he doesn't need it, to be repeated. So either it reinforces, you know, some local perspective, you know, and that's why it's repeated, or this is the Rambam's way of saying, like, there are two dimensions here. There's a this dimension and a that dimension, and it's not surprising that there, you know, might be multiple overlapping dimensions in these issues, for the same very reason that we're being choker whether it's this or that, and both make sense. Right, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. To say, oh, this is pressuring, or this is inconsistent with the nature, you know, of Ishus or Gerushin as an institution. Moreover, you know, it's totally, you know, out of sync, you know, with the ideal religious personality and the cultivation, you know, of that status in the Los Angeles, right? Okay, let's continue. Yeah, is that good or not? Shaya Noel, go ahead.
Shaya Noel, Bisney, Ishta Yotze.
Yeah. Yeah. Shizvov, right. I mean, yeah. No fellow toch tamchui. So these three categories are just like, you know, Chazal, you know, psychologizing, like, oh, like there are three types of people out there, you know, or they're taking, obviously, well, the last one is a Midas Adam Ra, meaning a person shouldn't have, you know, a level of tolerance that, you know, allows for, you know, improper, you know, spousal, you know, behavior. Looking the other way is not an acceptable, you know, perspective at all. What about the first one where he's a little bit, you know, over the top? Good or not good? Ellie?
Probably not good.
Yeah, clearly not good. Right? Even in Machlo Mishnah, you could say, you know, that's a little bit, you know, peculiar, or, but you know, the in food tastes, in culinary, you know, habits, you know, that's a more, you know, neutral, you know, area. You know, Anine Adas, the Gemara speaks about, you know, this in a bunch of places. You know, Gemara in Sukkah talks about it, you know, in terms of Minstire, you know, and other things like that. You know, we recognize it. Yeshu Istinis, the Kutz B'mam, according Rashi, you know, Machmas Miut Ma'at. Esha Eino Istinis Klal, he has no standards. Kach Deos B'nei Adam, Chalukas B'Pritzas, Yesh Makbid Al Pritzas Muat, V'esha Eino Makbid, you know, Kol Kach, V'esha Eino Makbid Klal. But Papas Ben Yehuda, what does it say about that? Mida She'eina Hogena Sizu, right, Shemitoch Kach, Eva Nechnesis Beneim, Umazana Takta. Like in the Gemara itself, the Gemara doesn't say explicitly, except that it portrays it as an extreme. So, you know, likely, you know, it's not a good thing. And it doesn't sound to us like it's a very good thing. It sounds way too, you know, controlling. What is it they say, you know, in modern, you know, nomenclature, you know, it's like a red line. Is that what they say?
Red,
you
flag.
Know, red flag. Very good. you know modern nomenclature.
Okay. I was in Shidduchim once.
What?
I was in Shidduchim once.
You were, like way back in the day. Now you're like pretty experienced and, you know, Baruch Hashem. So, yeah, red flag. That's it. That's the one. So, yeah, so, you know, again, these are very interesting things. Are these, again, deos issues? Just, you know, again, the dietary ones are not a moral, you know, statement one way or another. So, you know, but there is like a spectrum of, you know, things that are normal and things that are atypical. Just that, you know, somebody is an istinus when it comes to achila. You know, it might be difficult to deal with his diet. But as I say, you know, the halacha will sometimes recognize that and respect that. But when it comes to, you know, the midos benashim, there's obviously greater stakes. That's not just a personal thing. That affects the relationship. That's like a model for a davar shebikdusha. So that's not value neutral, and that's why Rashi, you know, is weighing in. Okay, let's continue. But on the other hand, the Gemara says, obviously, there's also a difference between the red flag, you know, of Papus ben Yehuda and the, you know, the absence of any standards whatsoever. You know, that is explicit in the Gemara, that there's, you know something about. You know, even frankly, from a a diet, Istanis, point of view, it doesn't sound like it's acceptable, to be shezvuv nochtel toch tamchui motzaso v'yochlo. I mean, that sounds, a little achzori, right? Yitzi, you would, yeah. Okay, good. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. Another experience, chasam. So. So this, of course, is very important. Go ahead. So the Gemara says here, like the Gemara is scandalized. So we have to zero in on this. Go ahead. Like, wow, that could be? Right? I mean, somebody would do that? Or, we read this and we weep, Rashi says what? Im kein raglayim ledavar. So Rashi, interestingly enough, sees this as a raglayim ledavar of actual znus, correct? And Tosas, read it quite quickly, just to get a flavor. Again, we'll fill it in, but the kasha. So this, of course. Does Rashi say that?
No.
Right. So Tosas here goes beyond what Rashi said. It makes... I mean, Rashi says, Zonahi, biasurlo, just the v'chova legarsha, v'lo mitzvah. I mean, first of all, there are two categories, chova legarsha and mitzvah legarsha. But the Gemara hasn't really... because the Gemara characterizes it as mitzvah. Elamokum shibnei adam... Right, rochatzim, zu mitzvah minatora legarsha. Right, shenamu kimatzah la'ervas davar v'shulcha ibeis avahok avahaisa leish acher akosav kiro acher lomar she'ein ze ben zugo, lerishon ze hotzi risha'a ibeis av ze hichnis risha'a letoch beisa. Right, you read that well.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, what's interesting about so the Gemara says, "Zum mitzvah min haTorah legarsha," and Rashi and Tosas is adding, that there's a difference between mitzvah and chova. Okay, in general, yeah. So what does Tosas say it is? The kasha. Go ahead.
Kasha. The haTorah was shut. The yotze v'rishis tura. Nami chova legarsha. The lo mitzvah. The baya he besota. The yovar zaldasi. Who did this? Mutter l'kaima. Olo. The lo mishita.
Meaning das Yehudis is obviously a tzmius red flag, right? But it is it's only a din derabanan, right? And therefore, it doesn't have to be chova because we're talking about chova daraisa, avozu chova legarsha minator, meaning. If it were something more. Odish Lafaresh.
Odish Lafaresh, Rafetas, and then Adam Safa, I feel Adam Ra, so well them, or I feel Kalash Bakalos,
Yeah, so it's not so much the question of mitzvah and chova as like Hayitachain, like would there be such a mitzvah? Like, who would, tolerate, such betrayal? Even if there isn't no maisa, even if there isn't a maisa vera, per se. Okay, so we'll get back to that. Keep going. So the Gemara here actually uses the phrase for the first time here of zu mitzvah min haTorah legarsha. Okay, so the question is, again, this is only, in a Beis Shammai type circumstance, or this is a good paradigm, that in general there might be a mitzvah legarsha. So the Gemara here uses this expression, and we'll have to look also, the Gemara in, if you haven't seen it yet, the Gemara in Yevamos, if you've seen the Rambam, you've seen the Gemara, but the Gemara in Yevamos, Samach Gimel Amid Beis, also uses, this, kind of expression. We'll get back to it. When we say mitzvah min haTorah, right, we're talking about the mitzvah of Gerushin? Or this is just like a melitza, again, you know, kind of use my terminology, a kind of a Hilchos Deo. Of course, you have to, you know, you'd have to, you know, the right thing to do, the Eitz HaTova would be to get divorced. You know, but that's not the mitzvah of Gerushin. Maybe it isn't really a chiyuv or a mitzvah of Gerushin. As we say, the Rambam in Minyan HaMitzvos doesn't think that this is the circumstance of mitzvah. But the Gemara here and the Gemara Nivamos may imply, you know, that with the right grounds, right circumstances, is a mitzvah lagarish. I mean, mitzvah lagarish, you know, is contingent upon, you know, what's happening in the marriage and what's the, you know, lesser, you know, of two evils, you know, basically. So there are two ways to read the Gemara. Rambam obviously read it, and even though he codifies this in Perikyo and Halakha Kaf Beis, but he didn't read it, you know, in terms of being a formal mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag. As we already noted, the Rambam's mitzvah is, you know, that the methodology of Gerushin be Bederech Ksiva. That he says in the Koteret, and that he says in Sefer HaMitzvos, and that's also consistent. We'll get back to it. He doesn't even bother to mention that part of it, as I say, in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Gerushin Halakha Aleph, in contrast to, you know, the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. You know, but okay, he's covered with Minyan HaMitzvos and the Koteret. But certainly the Rambam does not think that there's a mitzvah of Gerushin in the Minyan Taryag to divorce your wife, you know, even in circumstances, you know, like this. So again, let's say there's a violation of Sota. So that's an interesting question, which we should still discuss. Is there an obligation to divorce in that case? So if there is, that obligation might be a consequence of Sota, you know, not a separate mitzvah gerushin. And it's possible, and this is a discussion in the Rishonim already, you know, that even then there's no, it's an Eitz HaTova, you know, and there's an Iser to continue to live with her, you know, in terms of Iser Bia. But let's say they decided, you know, to stay together on the Raisa level. So let's say they decided to get, whether they have children or whatever. So they're staying together, just that there'll be no, you know, physical relationship. On a Daraisa level, is there an obligation to get divorced in the case of Sota? Right? So, yeah. So this line in the Gemara about mitzvah min HaTorah was taken by some Rishonim very literally. We'll document this in just a couple of minutes. And, as I say, by the Rambam, it was not understood this way. More of a, like, you know, Eitz HaTova, maybe Hilchos Deos, maybe even Hilchos Gerushin, but still on the, you know, on the spectrum of, you know, what the right thing to do is, not so much a formal mitzvah.
The lashon of the Rambam of mitzvah in this context is like also would be la dafka?
Yes, I think so. I think it's more like, you know, it's the right thing to do. Yeah, you have language there? Just what is it, Yud Kam Beis?
Yeah.
Yishara. The Tevis, which in its new Kubernetes Israel, Shiro, Mitzvah Garsha, Shemar Gersh leads, that's what they
do. Yeah. And the Makar, as you see, is the Pasuk in Mishle. It's not, you know, the Kasavla Sefer Krisus, which of course is the Makar for the Mitzvah that the Rambam is Monah. So it's, you know, even though I do think it's not only a Hilchos Deos Halakha, because it is a Hilchos Gerushin. As I said, and it's in, you know, an interesting place in Hilchos Gerushin too, right? The, as we already noted, the Perek Yud that starts off with what? How does it start off, Perek Yud?
No,
that's Perek Yud in the beginning.
A Perek Yud.
Oh, it is. 1 second. Oh, okay. No, I thought it was. It could be. Yeah, go ahead.
Or in a get or in a migureshet, how is that get batam in a Torah? But then he is ish kamura. He said titze v'avlad mamzer.
Okay, that's not what I'm referring to. I'll find the line that I'm referring to later on. But the point is that there's a lot in Perek Yud of the Rambam that, you know, revolves around assessing, you know, certain, you know, they, you know, a likely, you know, situation where a marriage is deteriorating. So we'll get back to that. What? Yeah, Kitana. Yeah, correct.
I think it's Perak Yud
Aleph. Perak Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, with the Matzah Bishras. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm mixing up. Okay. But we'll get back to the overlap in the Rambam, Deos, Isuri Bia, Kiddushin, etc. But yeah, I think it's clear that the Rambam certainly didn't mean mitzvah and minyan mitzvah, so that's perfectly clear in the Rambam. And as I say, the whole treatment of mitzvah here is much more limited even than, you know, the parallel of Ishus, and so on. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Okay, let's continue. Eli, go ahead. Where are we? And again, even the description, whether it's a pasuk in Mishlei or Ein Ze Ben Zugo LeRishon Ze Hotzi Risha, you know, it's more under the rubric of, you know, Ishacher, meaning there's an evaluation of the, you know, the standards and the frumkeit, if you will, and the stature, you know, of the people, you know, involved, you know, in this marriage, you know, but that doesn't, you know, necessarily translate, you know, into hardcore, you know, it's chal or not chal, etc. That zehichnis risha l'toch beso, right? Go ahead. Zocha sheni shilcha. Not such good alternatives, right? Oki yamas isha achron. Yeah. Yeah. So here again, we'll pin down a few details, but this is in the Shabbat Vataria. Right, im sanasa shaleach means what? So Rashi here says what? Pasuku b'nevuas malachi, Raim sanasa shaleach, ki Rabbi Akiva. Right?
Ki Rabbi Akiva, yeah.
That's, so that's one day, huh? Right, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, sonu yamashaleach. Right? So what's the Rashi there? Go ahead. So that is imsnuahi lifnei amakom, you know, imsanasa shalach kibir Rabbi Akiva. If you have the gear imsnuahi lifnei amakom shalach, what do you mean lifnei amakom? It means she did something objectively wrong. That's kibay shamai, right? So that's a girsa in the Gemara. Okay, but istigarsi. Well, that's what we have. The Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say im snuahi lifnei amakom shalach as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, right? But what? What's it also? Sanui hamishaleach. So here for the first time, in other words, we have one formulation in the Gemara which speaks about mitzvah lagareish for somebody whose behavior is unacceptable. And then we have, according to this girsa, right, we're not saying it's an avera, but we're saying sonui hamishaleach, a criticism, right, of somebody who divorces without proper grounds or with trivial grounds. So what does Rashi say about that again? Istigarsi sonui hamishaleach, v'zishamati sonui hamishaleach lifnei amakom, v'afil lebeis hillel, nei delo kaifinan, shelo lahotzi, miu sonui. So this is like a major, you know, even Beis Hillel said that according to the Rashi, Beis Hillel is telling us that what? Hikdicha Tavshilo works. Right? According to this view. But Hikdicha Tavshilo is not acceptable. Sonihu HaMishaleach. Right? Even according to Beis Hillel. They could have said, no, it's not according to Beis Hillel, it's also according to Beis Shammai, but without grounds are different interpretations of this line in the Gemara, as we'll see. So, and again, Soni HaMishaleach means it's an Aveira, or means you know, that's just, you know, again, Hilchos Deos kind of Sunday Hamishalem. This is wrong. Shouldn't do this. What about from Hilchos Geirushin point of view? You can do it. Okay. Velo Pligi, maybe even that there's no argument. So this, of course, tremendously complicated, you know, the whole question of, you know, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, because now the question, you know, gets thrown up, you know, is this, you know, Bein B'Zivug Rishon, Bein B'Zivug Sheni, or is there a difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni? And maybe, you know, Beis Shammai is only Zivug Rishon, or maybe Beis Hillel is only Zivug Sheni. So what's your, what do you think, Ellie? What's the, this factor of Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, like how would you assess it?
Further question that we haven't yet addressed.
Well, for sure,
in
correct.
The sense that maybe that Zivug Rishon might have higher, you know, higher qualifications in order for there to be a legitimate Gershon, whereas
so that's kind of what I'm asking. Does that really make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Gemara says it. How does that make sense? On what level does that make sense?
I mean, there's, I guess, like the more, you know, like functional oriented answer, which is that there seems to be some special hashkafa oriented towards.
Okay, so I would say from a like, you know, again, using the categories of Hilchos Deos and Hilchos Geirushin, you know, does this make sense, you know, from a Hilchos Geirushin point of view? Maybe. I would say the following. I hear what you're saying. I would say the following. In terms of, like, you know, objectively, like, the status of Kedusha in Ishus, there shouldn't really be a difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, because, you know, Ishus is Ishus. You know, even Kikach Ish, you know, Isha Chadasha, you know, Naki Yel of Esau applies, you know, according to most, you know, not just to a Basula or even a first wife, but, you know, to Isha Chadasha. So, Chadasha Lo, not Machzir, you know, Grushasa. In terms of, like, the level, in terms of Erva, you know, Oping and Kedusha, you know, the kind of relationship, you know, people should have, all things being equal, there should really be no difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, you know, objectively in terms of, you know, Heter Isha Labala, you know, and the kind of bond that you would, you know, hope for. On the other hand, you know, Lemaisa, you know, there, of course, is a difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug, you know, Sheni. In terms of, you know, practical things, but with regard to Simcha, for example, we find no differences. Not quite as radical as we find for Matzu Grushaso. You know, we talk about Chol HaMoed, and what about Birchas Nisuin, or at least certain Birchas Nisuin, or maybe even Birchas Erisin, you know, things of that sort, or Noki Elabeso. You know, you don't have it to that extent. But, for example, the Gemara in Ksuvah speaks about, you know, how many days of bracha, how many days of, you know, of mishta, right? You know, almon shenasa almana, you know, bachur shenasa almana, you know, almon shenasa, you know, besula or bachura. So, you know, and from a logical point of view, you know, obviously, the expectation in terms of, you know, that's also part of the continuation of the Gemara, you know, kol hamagarish ishto rishona, you know, afilo mizbeach, you know, morid al abdemos, which is such a, like a powerful, you know, imagery. First of all, the connection to the mizbeach, between Ishus and mizbeach, is fascinating. You know, the mikdash, and the role the mikdash plays in, you know, in the suin, in terms of zechel mikdash, and all those things, and kol abonab, you know, achas mechorvos yerushalayim, you know, when you're the Sameach HaSavakala. You know, the... all right, so it's a very powerful image, but the idea that that's, you know, Bezivo Grishon, there's something more tragic, for sure, and the ability, let's say, you know, to throw away, you know, a Zivo Grishon with all of the, you know, again, this is structured in. This doesn't have to be true, you know, in individual cases. There can be Zivo Grishons that sadly don't work out or that were mismatched, you know, to begin with, obviously. You know, people are people, and there's, you know, relationships are even more complicated than that. So just to make it clear, we're not talking about individual people. We're talking about, you know, structurally likely, low plug way. We're talking about, you can have a second marriage, which where people really, you know, find each other, and it's, you know, hashkacha and a huge bracha. You know, they actually find the people, you know, that they were intended, you know, for, you know, all along. But all things being equal, obviously there's more of a, you know, practically and even, you know, conceptually in terms of, you know, kasha, you know, kikriyas yamsuf, the differences between zug rishon and zug sheni, and of course, you know, the idea that often at different stages of life and different expectations, different levels of experience. So lemaisa, you know, the idea that, you know, a zug sheni, you know, the Gemara speaks in Psachim, you know, about like the inherent, the end of Psachim, like, you know, on Kofiud, or so, you know, the inherent, you know, challenges, you know, of a second marriage, you know, where, like, there are, you know, whether people want to or not, there are comparisons that are made, especially for people who had a good, very special first marriage. And, of course, you know, understandably, when there are families involved, there are, you know, additional complexities. Again, and we hope every marriage, every Zivug Rishon, and every Zivug Sheni is successful. But in terms of expectations and how you gauge and measure, practically they're going to be different because of the circumstance, of the age, the, you know, the experience level and the, you know, idealism that goes into that, other pressures, etc. So what I would say is that in terms of Kedushas Ishus, there's no difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. You know, in terms of what constitutes, you know, betrayal and what constitutes, you know, actions that are, you know, considered to be, you know, antithetical, you know, if we're talking about, you know, Gimel, you know, Midos, you know, Ba'adam, as far as those things are concerned, the basic standards, you know, the respect that is required, the minimum respect in Kedusha, there should be no difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. However, when it comes to the question of Hilchos Deos, like, you know, how much of an effort you're expending, you know, how easy you're letting go this marriage, as far as those things are concerned, and that might, in some cases, I think this is what Ellie was saying also, in some cases that might end up, you know, factoring in even to, like, a more fundamental thing. Like, do we really think, you know, that Hikdicha Tavshilo or Matza Isha, you know, Noah Heimenu, do we consider that to be like a, you know, a Davar Shebe'erva in the same way when the expectation is, you know, that there would be a different kind of a bond or that people, you know, would expend even greater effort, you know, because this is, you know, a different kind of, you know, relationship, you know, structurally. So there may be even that part of it, but I think mostly the differences are practical, and they are, like, therefore mostly on a Hilchos Deos level and less so on a Hilchos Gerushin level, except to the extent that, you know, there is that, you know, overlap. So whether or not Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, you know, whether they, in either direction, depends on the direction. You know, if we were to say Beis Shammai is Dafka B'Zivug Rishon, or that Beis Hillel is Dafka B'Zivug Sheni, Or we would say, Meisil Beishamai Rabbi Akiva, I have nothing to do with that. You know, this is a standalone issue, which is the view of quite a few Rishonim. That's going to help us appreciate better whether Beisil Beishamai and Rabbi Akiva are saying something about Hilchos Geirushin, or mostly just, you know, weighing in about Hilchos Deos. Yeah, a share.
We suggest that in terms of, let's say, a kumulatila of making a marriage into a lifelong commitment, they've already sort of lost that opportunity. That opportunity is not there anyways by Zizek Shaming, because the first half of life has already happened. So maybe you could suggest even in Tzadik Laskirishin, there is less of sort of a lost opportunity.
Well, I think that's what I meant by the overlap that I was saying about with Ellie. In other words, whether we think, you know, that, like, you know, abandoning this too easily or for what we otherwise, you know, in other words, in a Ziva Grishon, you know, where there's a certain, you know, greater potential, structurally speaking, so we would consider this to be, like, really frivolous or trivializing or, you know, kind of attacking, you know, the Kedusha of the Ishus, you know, and turning into nothing more than kind of like a heter, you know, znus or something, you know, like that. Whereas in the Zivug Sheni, you know, we wouldn't look at it that way, you know, because understandably, you know, the assessment of, you know, whether this is acceptable or unacceptable grounds from a quality of life in terms of what you're giving up, and I think that's what Ellie was saying, something like that. So I think that's what you're saying? Am I mischaracterized?
Yeah, I thought it would have been slightly another.
So I mean that's why he has it there in Hilchos Geirushin. But right. I'm just saying what you would not say, what I want to avoid saying, is, you know, that in a bigger way, like, you know, Kedushas Ishus is different for Ziva Grishon and Ziva Chen. That I don't think is true. Mm-hmm. How you assess Kedushas Ishus, you know, and how you know, idyllic or idealistic, you know, that is going to be, you know, and how, you know, unacceptable it is, let's say, to allow, you know, certain kind of factors, you know, to play into your, you know, assessment of the marriage. That I think is truly, you know, where Zivug Rishon Zivug Sheni plays a role. So what I would say is it's pashut on a Hilchos Deos point of view that there should be a difference, and that Hilchos Deos may end up like overlapping, you know, into, you know, the assessment of whether you've crossed the line, at least on an Eitz HaTovah level for the Rambam, you know, even in Hilchos Geirushin, which I think is what you're saying.
Right. So I thought even without saying that it starts in Hilchos Deos, maybe one could suggest that in a Ziva Grishon, there's a certain ideal and kiyum that this should be a lifelong commitment. But maybe you don't.
Right, I'm just saying that. Well, I'm saying, wouldn't that also affect your Hilchos Deos assessment of this? I'm only using that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you need the Deos in order to be the. I'm using the Hilchos Deos to kind of, you know, amplify, you know, the idea that, you know, expectations and circumstances themselves, you know, can figure in, can be part of the calculation, you know, of whether or not, you know, we look at this in like a very highly personal and individualized way. Well, he wants this marriage, he doesn't want this marriage, or like he's playing loose and fast, you know, with marriage. So I think that's what we're saying. I'm saying whenever there's a Deos aspect to it, not because you need it, you know, it also may end up being a factor. Like the more we are sympathetic, maybe it's too strong a word, the more we're tolerant, a better way, of, you know, of factors that seem less fundamental, you know, that's going to also, or intolerant as the case may be, you know, that's going to figure into whether or not, you know, we think that the institutions, you know, themselves are being attacked here. You know what I'm saying? So that I think is true. What I want to avoid is saying that per se, in a more objective way, like, oh, a Ziva Grishon requires, you know, Kedusha, Aziv Bukshani doesn't. What I'm saying, and I think what you're saying, what I think Ellie was saying, was that no, whether or not we assess this as tarnishing Kedusha Sa'ishus, you know, is not completely divorced from this life circumstances, you know, and the expectations, you know, given, you know, earlier, you know, history, stage in life, any ways, you know, having lost, like, the luster of a certain potential, et cetera.
And that might even do, again, this sort of redundant formulation that Mr. Kiel Schaffner discussed about after he already said, you know, don't do it unless Mathura is over, then he says again, Vain Roy Lola Meyer, which shall that be shown us.
Right.
So it could be that aside from the question of assessing what's a good enough justification, what's never cover, there's just this kium of trying to work your hardest to make that a lifelong commitment.
Right. So, and that's why I actually think that too, and that's why I was saying it fairly agree with you. And I think that's maybe why it is a Nicholas Gayerson and not just a Nicholas Ayas. Right. So I think that's a very important kind of middle position. But what I think is not correct is to say, oh, you know, there's a higher level of Kedusha per se required for, you know, Zivug Rishon as opposed to Zivug Sheni. It's more what we're saying now, which is the assessment of things that, you know, legitimately, whether we're happy or tolerably, you know, impinge on the Kedusha, you know, is going to be, you know, determined, you know, sometimes by factors like Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni. Okay, let's continue one more minute, and then I want to... Oh, anyway, but go ahead. Yeah, so these are very beautiful psukim, you know, about the, you know, the ideal and what constitutes, you know, a begida. Well, the implication is that, you know, now again, we're not talking about begida in the most objective way, right? You know, like a maisa's nus, a sota. There's no difference between the violation of sota and the chiyuv misa, you know, and how, you know, despicable that is, whether it's zivug rishon, zivug sheni. That's what I mean by the kedusha se'ishus, the kalos ishus is the same, right? But, you know, what constitutes, you know, begida, you know, if she's eishus brisecha, you know, she's your, you know, chevratecha, and eishus ne'urecha, you know, then we have a different standard, absent like an objective, you know, destruction of the marriage, you know, in terms of, you know, what is acceptable, you know, assessment of behavior or factors, etc. So we'll have to see, you know, how that shakes out in terms of Rishon. Okay, so let's take a couple of minutes. I know we're almost finished, but let's start with it at least. You know, to look at, you know, how Rishonim, you know, before we get to, you know, the range of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, which we've already kind of alluded to, but we'll pin that down a little bit more. But just in terms of, you know, mitzvos and isurim itself, I said the Gemara here and the Gemara in Yevamos certainly implies, you know, that the status of the isha or the behavior, you know, that she displays, you know, within the marriage, you know, might dictate, you know, whether it's mitzvah legarsha, you know, or if there's no grounds, also legarsha, you know, and again, I've already pointed out that for the Rambam, you know, these are, you know, Hilchos Geirushin considerations, maybe, but, you know, that come from, you know, Hilchos Deos, and that are based on, like, Psukim, like in Mishle, and certainly not, you know, the sense of mitzvah or isar in the Minyan Taryat. What about other... So we'll get back to the Rambam in a minute, because we have to look at the Rambams. You know, A, what the Rambam says, what he doesn't say, but also, you know, the Hilchos Deos Parakei, if I didn't give you these already, you know, we talked about some of them. We talked about Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and the Koteret, and we talked about, you know, was it Mitzvah Reish Chaf Beis? We talked about Parak, you know, Yud, Halacha Chaf Aleph. But what about Hilchos? Also, you should look at Hilchos Deos, a little bit different case. Parakei Halacha Dalid, Hilchos Ishus, Parak Gimel Halacha Yutes, Parak Chaf Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bia Halacha Yud Beis Perek Chaf Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bia Halacha Chaf Ches, meaning the range of these kind of issues and where the Rambam puts them is very intriguing. We'll try to do it very quickly, but clearly, as I say, the Rambam downplays mitzvah l'garesh even more than he downplays mitzvahs kiddushin. Again, I've already weighed in on that topic, that while Rambam's son, or Rambam and Rambam, says that in Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam thinks that there is a mitzvah, to get married, and that includes kiddushin v'nisuin, lisa isha b'ksuva v'kiddushin. According to him, means to get married and to get married, with both of these factors. I don't think that's the pshat in the Rambam. I think that the pshat in the Rambam is, when you decide to get married, to do so by the method that the Torah, introduced in Matan Torah, namely Bederech Erusin Kodem Mikidushin. That's what it means. And Lisa Isha, when you're getting married, do it, Bikidushin or Biksuva Bikidushin. And that's what Billy Kuchen Elam Bitzaseh Torah Heim. It's even more explicit, if you need it to be more explicit, in Sefer Chinuch, who's following the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Kiddushin is when you decide to get married, how you get married, the methodology. And I think that that's a pshat in the Rambam and, in the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos and Geirushin too, with the emphasis on the Ksiva. Again, those of you who learned Chulin a couple of years back, we talked about this in Shkita as well. That, while many Mefarshim think that the Rambam holds that, we count in Binyan HaMitzvos Matirim, like Shkita, I think often that isn't really what's happening in the Rambam. I think often, or maybe always, the methodology, the Matir, is an indication of the Torah's unique, perspective on a certain topic. It highlights or illuminates, a certain, emphasis. And as such, the derech, is the mitzvah, because it does it. If the way to eat, meat of an animal, is to employ, what is also the first of the avodos, in kachin kasher tzivisicha, so that is very, very significant. That says something about, meat eating, not just as a, concession to man's dibra Torah keneged, kind of yetzer hara, but, it says that you're trying to be, mekadesh, that, and again, I want to go into details. Similarly, Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam speaks about, when you do tshuva, that, the mitzvah is to, be mitzvada. Again, this is part of a much bigger topic, but, this triggered the koteret of the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, and Sefer Mitzvos, Ayin Gimel, and the Perek Aleph Halakha Aleph. It's a little bit different in their emphases, but the common denominator is all three of them accentuate, the need for vidui, and, that's an upfront factor in the mitzvah itself. And that triggered, a huge outcry. It was like a lightning rod for discussions of the Rambam, because, first of all, logically, wouldn't the mitzvah be tshuva? Why would it be vidui? And then there are all sorts of, makoros that don't seem to be, consistent, with the idea that dafka vidui, is the mitzvah and not tshuva. And all sorts of, suggestions have been made. The Mabit in Beis Olokim and in Kiryat Sefer, a little bit like the Rambam's son in Hilchos Erusin, Hilchos Kiddushin, Hilchos Ishus, says, oh, no, the mitzvah is both, the combination of, tshuva and vidui. And people say a lot of different things. The Rav thought that they're famously, that there's a difference between the kiyum of tshuva, which is belave, and the maisa of tshuva, the pu'ula of tshuva, which is, vidui, which may very well be true, But I thought that you have to add to that significantly that, yeah, but it's not just the difference between the Kila mitzvah and the Maisa mitzvah, it's like I was saying before. It's where the Maisa mitzvah characterizes, you know, adds a layer or a dimension that, you know, in some cases that transforms what the mitzvah really is. So if you really understand, you know, what vidui requires of you, Linuchas Tshuva, the derech of vidui to accomplish tshuva, in my opinion, the short story, you know, establishes, maybe we'll talk about it, that, you know, tshuva isn't just about neutralizing averos and, you know, warding off, you know, the onshim of those averos. It's really about, you know, a personal transformation, you know, an opportunity, you know, kind of an avodas Hashem. And the vidui, and, you know, what it, the components of the vidui, and just the psychology, let's say, of, you know, of externalizing and verbalizing, you know, through vidui, like all of that, that methodology, you know, is what, you know, underscores what's singular, you know, about tshuva, and what, you know, transcends what you might have thought narrowly that it means. Similarly, being megaresh, you know, isn't a mitzvah according to the Rambam, but when you're being megaresh, to do it b'derech ksav, and only b'derech ksav, you know, that, for the Rambam, is the mitzvah, the derech, the method. But that has nothing to do, then, with the language of mitzvah or isur, you know, in our Gemara. And that's why the Rambam buries it in Perek Yud and, you know, again, has it the way that he has it. That doesn't mean it isn't significant, but, you know, it's not the minyan, and it's not, it doesn't belong in the minyan tayag. It isn't in the minyan tayag. So let's take a step back and just look at other Monei HaMitzvos for a minute. I'm going to stop in a couple of minutes. But there are Monei HaMitzvos who don't count. First of all, let me say it this way. When we examine, you know, what the mitzvah or isur, you know, there is involved in Gerushin, you know, it's a natural that we should compare it to Kiddushin. Okay? Why is it natural? Because of Yotzev HaYisa. And you know, more important, you know, it's just, you know, this is the, you know, this is the yin and the yang of Ishus, which is also why the Yotzev HaYisa, you know, is so, you know, so important. But as we noted with regard to the Yotzev HaYisa, we'll definitely revisit this many times during the year, you know, on the one hand, it's a parallel, and on the other hand, it's clearly an opposite, and there's a certain dialectic in it, right? You know, because they're parallel opposites, you know, so there are dinim where the parallel comes through, including, you know, the need for the, or the effectiveness of shtar kiddushin. And of course, you know, there are, you know, many examples where you're gonna, not going to say, not only not going to say v'yatzav ha'isa, makashavai elitzia, but you're going to say the opposite. Because we're dealing with, you know, opposite directions. Ah. So with regard to whether there's a mitzvah and what the nature of the mitzvah is, we, you know, again, have this, you know, dialectic. On the one hand, you can say, well, midah, you know, ishus, you know, nishma, legerushin. You know, whatever the mitzvah is on the way in, probably the same kind of mitzvah on the way out. There's a certain logic to that. In my opinion, mostly, you know, that's what the Rambam did. He thinks that in both cases, the derech, not the kum va'aseh action, no matter what the circumstances, is responsible for the mitzvah. However, and the same thing might be true, like if you were to take the position, you know, that, you know, the mitzvah of Kiddushin was likadesh, or lisa, you know, not the derech, but to get married, if you didn't think that was already covered, let's say, by the obligation of Kiryu Varibya, you know, things of that sort. So, you know, we can understand that you might be inclined to think that in parallel, you know, if there is a mitzvah legaresh, if the mitzvah is to get divorced, except that, you know, to get married, you know, is a positive, you know, in all circumstances. you know, some even more urgent than others, if we're talking about, like, you know, the Kohen Gadol. The Rambam may hold that the, actually, you know, this is just an agav comment, but the way the language of the Rambam implies in a bunch of places, you know, the only person who's obligated to get married, per se, may be the Kohen Gadol to a Besula. And, you know, it sounds like the Rambam thinks, some Farshim certainly hold that this is true, others do not, you know, that it's not just prohibited for him to marry anybody other than a Besula, but that, you know, he's obligated, like, to find a Besula to get married. I mean, the Rambam is of the opinion, but it sounds that way in the language of the Rambam, number one. It's not just an Isra say, but a Kiyum say. And that makes it different, because, again, no one else is obligated to get married, although people may be obligated to find a way to procreate. But in addition to that, I mean, the Rambam's, you know, well-known Shita in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, which is attacked by the Raibid and doesn't have a mocker in the Gemara, is that the Kohen Gadol is not just obligated to be married on Yom Kippur, he's obligated to be married all year round. Now, again, you know, what the implications of that are, I'm not going to go into right now. But, you know, that, in a way, this added emphasis of the Kohen Gadol, you know, not only being married on Yom Kippur, and that being kind of a definition of who he is, beso, part of him, which is the way the Rambam writes it in the very beginning of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, but the idea that it extends all year round, even though that's not clear in the Gemara, and the language that he uses, you know, about marrying a besula, you put that all together, that's a very powerful, and, you know, it's particularly powerful because we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. You know, in other cultures, you know, as we know, like, marriage is considered, you know, a huge concession, you know, and a huge b'di'evet. You know, kol shekein for the high priest, you know, who represents, you know, kulo Hashem. But for us, the exact opposite is true, and that's very, very important. But anyways, that aside, you know, the Rambam doesn't think that there's a mitzvah to get married. He thinks that. But there are other Rishonim who do. You know, particularly, as we'll see, anybody? Yitzchak? The Smak. Did you see the line with the Smak? The Smak, you know, thinks that there's a mitzvah to get married. Maybe the Smag, not so sure. Maybe the Smag in Aseh Memches also sounds that way, unless he means the Rambam, because he was very influenced by the Rambam. But he's also from the Bali Tosis, so he's kind of, you know, kind of in between. My suspicion is that maybe he thinks the mitzvah is to get married, not just to get married to Derek, you know, Kiddushin. But as I was saying, you know, even as there's a parallel, you know, the idea that there also may be a discrepancy is very reasonable, because in Kiddushin, as I say, you know, it's across the board. It's clearly constructive, not only for the Kohen Gadol, but for everybody to get married. You know, even if there's not a formal mitzvah, clearly that, you know, is constructive. You know, Kiddushin is a positive, you know, kiyum, and maybe even an indispensable one, you know, for many things. Gerushin, on the other hand, as we know, is, you know, sad, and, you know, unhappy. It might be necessary, even as an investment in the Kedusha, you know, one way or another, or it just may be, you know, allowable. But the idea that it, you know, is a mitzvah is a little bit, you know, jarring. So you want to say it's a mitzvah in cases where it protects the Kedusha or protects the people, like under certain conditions, you know, that's very different already than Kedusha. Kedushin is associated, you know, or at least the act of Kiddushin is very much associated with a bracha. Right? The Masada Kiddushin, you know, makes a Birchas Eiros in a very long, beautiful bracha. There's no bracha for Gerushin. But, you know, in the Marmakomas that I gave you, Yossi, they discuss this. There's a discussion why there's no bracha for Gerushin, which is a little shocking, right? Meaning there's a Havamina that there is one. So the question is, who discusses that?
The Rashba and the Rivash.
If you could also just look at, before tomorrow, we will discuss a little more, the, you know, The Rajba version is connected to Rav Yosef, the famous tshuva of Rav Yosef, you know, Ibn Palat, we've talked about it. You know, those have been here for a few years, many, many other times too. Like, you know, that's the Rabbi Abad, the Ravid's father-in-law, Rav Yosef, Ibn Palat, you know, had these, you know, and then it got picked up by other Rishonim and different neschos of it. Like, you know, what do you make a bracha for and what don't you make a bracha for? You know. So criterion of making brachos, very interesting and important, you know, issue. But there are different versions of it sometimes, and there. So if you look at the Abu Dram and, you know, his Birchas HaMitzvah, he has a different take, you know. And the Rajba has a bit of a different take, and the Rivash has a bit of a different take. So these are our questions. Meaning, you know, everybody seems to agree there's no bracha on Geirushin. You know, does that indicate that there's no mitzvah? Those are 2 days of the Rivash. We'll read it tomorrow, right? And even, you know, those who are, you know, that's 1 day in the Rivash. Oh, there's no brachas. Apparently there's no mitzvah. There's a mitzvah l'kadesh, or a mitzvah of derech kiddushin, but there's no mitzvah whatsoever of geirushin. The haraya, there's no bracha. Or no. The absence of a bracha is for more technical reasons. And what are those reasons? And does it break down, or could it break down? You know, even if it's a low plug on the bracha part, but more, you know, principally to the circumstances of the Geirushin itself. Okay, so we're going to stop here. But that's why I want to pick up with the first with the, like, you know, the Bahad, the Urayim, the Rivash, the Smak, the Smag, the Chinuch. You know, those views. Then I want to talk a little bit about Ben Noach. Because I think that's part of it. And then I want to get back to pinning down more details on, you know, different views of the range of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. But I want to do it more quickly, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, you know, so we can get through all these. And then we'll talk, you know, we still have an additional session on more comprehensive Masa Mishaso, and then we'll talk about, you know, the Geirushin Mi'ava, which also is connected to the Mitzvah problem. But, okay. All right, so that's so tomorrow at 10 o'clock.